Kino Yud Aleph, number 11, Vayikonin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu, is the most important kino we will say this morning, because historically it's a required kino from the Nevi'im. It's the story of the death of Yoshiyahu. I'll give you a summary of how the art scroll tells the story, if you want, you could see to those of you who have it, that the generation before Yoshiyahu, two generations before Yoshiyahu, Menashe, King Menashe, was a terrible person. He instituted Avodah Zarah throughout Eretz Yisrael, which is hard to imagine that the Melech himself would be an Avodah Zarah freak, and destroyed all the remnants of any Zecher to Torah, destroyed the Sifrei Torah. Then Menashe's son became king for 2 years until he was killed, he was assassinated. And there was a time in Klal Yisrael that a Sefer Torah did not exist, a Sefer Torah was not seen for years and years and years and years. What's funny about this whole thing is that the Beis HaMikdash was carrying on. They were doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, but a Sefer Torah had not been seen for a generation or two. And finally, when Amon, that second king, also a Rasha, is assassinated, his son, Yoshiyahu, is 8 years old when he begins his reign on Klal Yisrael. And he was there from the time he was 8 till he was 39. For 31 years he was Melech on Yisrael. And in the 18th year of his reign, there was a discovery. Some workers, some contractors go in to do some tikkunim, some shiputzim in the Kodesh HaKodashim, which is mutter, even if you're, even people, you know, to fix the Beis HaMikdash, a lot of people otherwise aren't allowed in. And lo and behold, there's a Sefer Torah. They bring out the Sefer Torah. Yoshiyahu is already 26 years old. He's been king of Klal Yisrael for 18 years, and he never saw a Sefer Torah in his life. And the Sefer Torah is opened to the pasuk, Arasha lo yokim es divrei Sefer HaTorah azos, cursed is somebody who doesn't uphold this Sefer Torah. Yoshiyahu is shaken. He writes the Kriya, realizing that they have such an incredible legacy, such an incredible gift. And here he's in a malchus that doesn't even know about it at all. And he cries out, Aleinu lahakim, we have to, and he makes the biggest, you remember they had that internet event at City Field? So he makes the biggest Kiruv outreach, tshuva movement event. Every person in Klal Yisrael has to come and join, and they all commit together that they're going to start keeping the Torah, and there's a gigantic campaign in Klal Yisrael to destroy all the Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. And day after day, week after week, Klal Yisrael is getting stronger, 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 stronger. And at some point, Yoshiyahu realizes that he did it. He sparked the most massive tshuva revolution in history, both backwards and forwards in history. And Klal Yisrael in a good place now. And he's confident. He's confident now that we're now ready for all the brachos in the Torah to be mekuyam in Klal Yisrael, in his generation. But he was mistaken. You see, he got warning. He got warning from the Nevi'im, from Yirmiyahu HaNavi, that Klal Yisrael are not as so clean as you think they are. Externally, it looks pretty good, but there are still those who are doing their Avodah Zarah in secret. The Kina describes, or Chazal describe, that they patented a great way to hide their Avodah Zarah. They would take an Avodah Zarah, they split it in two, paste the one half on the back of one door of the entranceway, the other half on the back of the other door of the entranceway. So when the inspectors, the governmental inspectors, would come in and make sure there's no Avodah Zarah, they throw the doors open, right and left side thrown open, they would search the house, they wouldn't find anything, they close the doors behind them, and lo and behold, facing the people and facing the families, are there the same Avodah Zarah that was covered as the doors were thrown open by the inspectors. And that was his mistake, that he didn't listen to Yirmiyah. He was a tzaddik. He was mekayev all of Klal Yisrael. But he didn't listen to Yirmiyah. And because of that, And because of his confidence that was based on his own confidence, but not on what Yirmiyah, the leader of the generation, had told him, when there was a time that Paroneko in the south, right, Egypt is in the southwest, decides, I'd like to, if you could just give me passage through Eretz Yisrael, I want to battle Syria or the northeast. I'm not going to want to fight you, Yoshio, just let me pass through. Yoshio, thinking that we're in a generation of perfection, he says, oh, the pasuk says, Chever, Cherev lo savor ba'artzachem. It doesn't just mean there's not going to be battling. It means that a Cherev won't even pass through your Eretz. And therefore, with his confidence that he's worthy, that Klal Yisrael worthy of all the brachos, he says to Paroneko, absolutely not. And he sends his forces to the front to prevent Paroneko from violating that bracha that he's so confident that Bnei Yisrael deserve. And there, they meet in battle with Paroneko, and Paro overwhelms Klal Yisrael, and the Egyptian sharpshooters shoot arrows one after another, piercing his body like a sieve. And as he is killed, if you look at the end of the kina, which is also alphabetical, two lines for each letter, as he's killed, Tzadi, Vayizuku bo shlosh meschitz, and 300 arrows pierce his body, and then by Ruach, Reish, he utters the words as he's, his last dying words, he realizes his mistake. Tzadik hu Hashem, ki marisi pihu, I realize that Hashem was right. I realize that Hashem was right, I'm wrong. Pasuk in Divrei Yomim tells us something incredible. It says that when Yoshio died, guess who gave him his hesped? None other than Yirmiyahu, the same Navi who told him not to do what he did, the same Navi who warned him not to get into trouble. Yirmiyahu is the one who gave him his hesped. And at that point, it was established, Pasuk in Divrei Yomim says, Vayitnum l'chok, it was established as a law. Al Yisrael, that what? That whenever the people cry out in Bikino Seim in their call, in their cries, throughout the generations, they should cry out also Al Yoshiyahu Ad Hayom. Rashi explains, when any tzara happens, and any time to cry occurs in Klal Yisrael, and people in Klal Yisrael throughout history will have to cry on this event or that event, they should also cry on the tzar of Yoshio's death. Continues Rashi in Divrei Hayamim. Where do we find this? B'Tisha B'Av, for example. Shemazkirim Kinos al Ha'arugim B'Gzeros. We talk about all the people who were killed. Says Rashi, in our generation, when did Rashi live? Rashi lived in the time of the Crusades. And says Rashi, as we cry on Tisha B'Av about what happened, about all the murders in our generation, Rashi talking about contemporaneously in the Crusades, for example, we also have to mention the death of Yoshiyahu. While we cry for the Yisomim, for the Almanas, people who were killed last Friday night, Chalamish, we also have to cry for Yoshiyahu. But I don't understand, what's so unique, so important about Yoshiyahu and his death that we have to cry for him at every point in history, that we cry for anything else that relates to that those subsequent generations? I think maybe there are a few points. Number one, the Klal Yisrael's never lost. Bnei Yisrael are completely entrenched in Avodah Zarah. Bnei Yisrael have not seen a Sefer, as bad as you say, we are right here, right now, in America, with the vast majority of people, forget about it, used to be, by the way, there's a big sociological change in the Jewish community, it's frightening. Used to be, when you remember, there was a third Reform, a third conservative, and a third orthodox. I mean, those weren't the real numbers. There was, let's say, 40% Reform, 40% conservative, 20% orthodox, maybe a little bit less. That's not the numbers of where Judaism is nowadays. With the new Pew reports, Judaism is not at that place. That would be wonderful. You know how the numbers break down now? 55% no shaychus to anything. Not Reform, not conservative, not orthodox. Okay, and the 45% that's left, okay, so you have a bunch that's reform, a bunch that's conservative, a bunch that are orthodox. Do you realize how terrifying that is? At least, I'm scared to say these words, at least if a person's reformed, they go somewhere that's Jewish. They're affiliated with people who are Jewish. At least many of them. But if there's so, if there's zero connection, there's not even an affiliation, it's completely secular without any shaychus whatsoever to anything Jewish. In order for reform will be gone in two generations, secular unaffiliation will be gone in front of our eyes. The time of Yoshiyahu, there was no Sefer Torah. For years, for decades, at least now, there are Sefer Torah, there are thousands of Sefer Torah around the world. There are yeshivas, maybe not enough. There are people learning Torah, maybe not enough. There are people who know how to read Hebrew, maybe not enough. But wait a second. If Bnei Yisrael could do tshuva like Yoshiyahu accomplished, then imagine nothing's going to be as bad as that time period. If that's the case, maybe there's hope for us also. There's hope for any and every generation for there to be a massive tshuva movement. Yoshiyahu did it. Maybe that's why the Nevi'im wanted us to always remember Yoshiyahu. Maybe there's a different reason. Maybe it's because Yoshiyahu teaches us an incredible lesson. Yoshiyahu is more than on his deathbed. Most Yoshiyahu is bleeding to death. And the last three words, what does he realize? Tzadik hu Hashem kipihu marisi. I realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right. I realize that what's coming to us is correct. Maybe that's why the Nevi'im wanted us to remember this story. Maybe it's for something else. Maybe it's to teach us how we're supposed to treat our leaders, our Torah leaders. Why this whole thing happened? Why did Yoshiyahu end up with his tragic death? For one reason. He was a great guy. He's the biggest, the Pasuk says, he's the greatest Meshev B'tshuva of all of history from before him and after him. And yet, this tragic death, for one reason and one reason only. He put on tefillin, he got everybody else to put on tefillin. He learned Daf Yomi, he got everybody else to learn Daf Yomi. What's wrong? He did everything that a good Jewish person is supposed to do. He wanted to do things the way he likes it, not the way the Talmidei Chachamim told him to do it. That fierce independence among from people, that fierce independence among Bnei Torah, but it has to be on their terms, not the way the leaders, the Torah leaders, the Yirmiyahus of their generation tell them. Maybe that's the lesson that the Nevi'im wanted this Kina specifically to be forever. We'll read the story about Yoshiyahu's accomplishments and his tragic death. Kino Yud Aleph 11, Vayikonen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Vayikonen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. The next Kina, Eicho, is again a lesson in contrasts. Eicho, of course, the words Eicho, Eicho, the word Ko appears so many times in Chumash, so many times in Tanakh, specifically referring to those situations where there's an incredible amount of hashkacha pratis. And this kina goes through in each first line of each of these paragraphs, where is the ko amar Hashem, ko this, Hashem will do this, ko, the word ko, you're so used in so many places to show how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael, to show how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach, so directly on Klal Yisrael. And we ask, hey ko, where is that ko? How come instead of that ko, Koyezarecha, the bracha of the multitudes of Klal Yisrael. Nelcha Adko, Yaakov, Avram Avinu, when he takes Yitzchak to the Akedah, will go Adko. Vayifen Kovacho, Dashkach, when Moshe Rabbeinu kills the Mitzvah who's fighting, who's hitting another Jew. When Hashem promises us, if you see us Mitzrayim, Kosagi Leves Yaakov, I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim. The promise of Hashem to send Makas Bechoros, Koma Hashem Bechatzi Alayla, Birchas Kohanim, Kosev Arechas Bnei Yisrael. These are the codes that I'm going to read about in the first line of each paragraph. And the question is, Eiko, where is Hashem? Where is that Hashgacha Pratis? Where is all the Midah Kenegan Midah? Because, if nothing else, that is precisely what the Beis HaMikdash was all about. It wasn't about Karbanos. It wasn't about Lechem Aponim. It wasn't about Lechem. It wasn't about lighting a menorah. The Beis HaMikdash was about Hashgacha Pratis, of feeling every single Jew, feeling that closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their lives, feeling His presence. And when you feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life, it's very hard to be down. It's very hard to find davening boring. It's very hard to be bored in doing mitzvos. But when it's Eiko, where's Hashem? Well, then, if I don't know where Hashem is, I don't feel Hashem, so davening is pretty dreary and boring. And learning is pretty dry. And mitzvahs are pretty routine and rote. In my mind, the very last line of the Kina, as we talk about where the Hashgacha is, we see something remarkable. What's the opposite of Hashgacha Pratis? Maybe you could say, the lack of Hashgacha Pratis. That's what I would think. Right? A kid whose parents are watching him, that's one thing, and then the kid behaves a certain way. And then when the parents go out and the kids are home alone, that's kids without supervision. They act in a different way. But that's not how the Kina ends. The opposite of Hashgacha Pratis is not the lack of Hashgacha Pratis. Look at the last line of this Kina. We ask Hashem, where's the Ko of the fact that you'll send us so much abundance in our oats or in our storehouses, so much food? Where are we now? The last two lines. V'hein atah, but behold now, tupchu prachai b'chatzar. In the chatzar, in the Beis HaMikdash, Prachai, the young ones, perhaps referring to the Pirchei Kuhuna, the young Kohanim, are tupchu, are bloated. Not bloated. Bloated in the sense of bloated like a person starving to death. You see what we just had? You have the Kohanim themselves, young Kohanim, in the Beis HaMikdash itself, starving to death. That's not the absence of Hashgacha Pratis. That's the opposite of Hashgacha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always Mashgiach. The question is, how is He Mashgiach? He's Mashgiach in terms of His loving, caring, the way a mother takes care of her little baby. Or He could be Mashgiach the way a crazed terrorist will take care of their captives. There's always Hashgacha. The question is, which direction is that Hashgacha? And therefore we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of all the Hashgacha and all the brachos that You would pour on us, now you have a Kohen, a young Kohen, the Chatzim Beis HaMikdash, bloated from starving to death. We ask Hashem, Kinu Yud Gimel, Eiko. Eiko, Omer Kareis, Lach Mefetzach, Mitzvah B'Sayon Kol Yelo Netzach.